ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we'll read the translations and we'll proceed from text number 4 onwards. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. See, here in the purport, in the sixth line or so, he's writing, Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative strength. Rather, he admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. Arjuna could understand that for a living entity, it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. If the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. So sometimes people say the absolute truth or God cannot come to this world. How can God come? God is so great that he cannot come to this world and all. It's not possible. He cannot take avatar. He cannot come. Also some people say God must be so great that he cannot be understood by anybody. He is infinite. Nobody can understand him. That which is beyond our perception, that which is undescribable by words, indescribable, that which is beyond the range of the senses. As soon as you say a word about it, finished, then it's not God. It must be something else. So this is argument of one category of people. So what do you all say? Can the infinite be understood by the infinitesimal? I asked this question some time ago, isn't it? Can the infinite be understood by the infinitesimal? Infinitesimal means tiny. The tiny soul, can he understand the infinite? Yes. She is saying with his limited extent he can understand according to his part and parcel. Okay. Yeah? Here somebody else said it? No, how can unlimited become limited? Unlimited never becomes limited. My question is, can the unlimited be understood as such? He is saying, yeah?
No, unless the unlimited uses mercy and makes him understand,
yeah.
That is unlimited, never
be
the limited
can be. Yeah. So, the unlimited or the infinite God can make the finite living entity understand him as much as he wants him to know. That much he can make him understand. Mataji also made the point that we cannot know him in completeness, but we can know something of the Lord as much as he reveals to us. We can understand. So to say that God can never be understood is also foolishness. Because if God wants to reveal himself to us, why can't we understand? If he gives us the power to understand him, then we can understand. It's possible. So here Prabhupada is saying, if the infinite reveals himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. So Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give orders to Krishna. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness. So you cannot force God to reveal himself to you. It's not possible. As Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, he says that. So just like sometimes you find this calf, you've seen a calf that is frolicking all around. It's very difficult to catch. And you try to catch the calf and catch the rope and try to, you know, pull the calf, to tie the calf to some pole or something, you know. You know what the calf will do? He will pull in the opposite direction. He will stretch so strongly, you just cannot pull him. He will hold his leg, you know, so firmly on the ground. The more you pull, the more he will be pulling on the opposite side. You just cannot move it. But a ordinary servant maid or a woman who is you know, allotted to take care of the calf, you see what she does. She will go and tickle here. She will just tickle here in the neck. As soon as she tickles here, immediately the calf becomes very polite. then she just moves it, you know, from the behind she will push it and immediately the calf will come, huh? And she can easily tie the calf. So that is a technique for understanding God. What is the technique? What is the technique for understanding Krishna? Surrendering to Him. Very simple, that's what Prabhupada says here. Huh? So those who surrender to Krishna, Krishna easily gives them the vision to see Him. Huh? Very easily. Like Arjuna is now telling Krishna, Krishna, I can't see you. You please give me the ability. And the Lord gives him the ability to see Him. Huh? As simple as that. But those who don't take help of God, but try to use their tiny grey substance, brain, huh? Or try to speculate about God, they can never understand Him. That is the point. Huh? So the method of knowing God is to better surrender to Him and ask Him, you please help me to see you. That is the method. And then text 5, Lord is speaking now, beginning to speak in this verse. Pashyame partha rupani shatashota sahasrasha. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Pritha, see now my opulences, hundreds of thousands of very divine and multicolored forms. So between verses 5 to 8, Krishna uses the word Pashya 5 times to draw Arjuna's attention. And just as a teacher would prepare a student in the beginning of the class, Krishna is preparing Arjuna now to see the, behold the multicolored form of Vishwarupa. Oh, best of the Bharatas, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard of before. Not even Duryodhana or Yashoda have seen this form that Krishna is showing now. Because this form is not only the Vishwarupa, mixed with that we will be seeing later, it's also the Kala Rupa, a horrendous, ghastly form that includes the manifestation of time, which is not generally included in the ordinary Vishwarupa that Krishna showed to others. And Krishna is saying, O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place. So Arjuna certainly wants to know the outcome of the war, Kurukshetra war, what is going to happen. That's what he wishes to see in future, about the future. So Krishna says, you can see that also here. You can see the past, present, future, everything in this Vishwarupa. So Arjuna, generally, here the Acharya has given an explanation. The material vision and then Divya Chakshu, divine vision, and Arjuna's vision. Three levels Acharya has explained. What kind of vision Krishna is offering him. So with material vision, we can see the mundane forms. And with Divya Chakshu, we can see the Vishwathomukam, or the Vishwarupa form. And with a devotee's vision, one can see the Madhurya form. Madhurya form is that Shamsundar form, beautiful form. Actually, the Lord does not generally show His devotees the Vishwarupa, I was telling you, especially the Kala Rupa, which is very frightening that we are about to read now, after a few verses. So Krishna has two sides. In one side, Krishna looks like a very beautiful young covered boy wearing a peacock feather, playing on his flute, standing in a threefold bending form, wearing the pitambar. He looks very sweet, very beautiful, captivating the hearts of his devotees. And for others, he looks like the horrendous time. He looks a very ghastly form. We will be reading how in that form it was like a huge, like mountain Sumeru, huge form with thousands and thousands of heads and thousands of hands and thousands of bellies and the mouths emanating fire, and the eyes were glaring like millions of suns. And anybody who would see, all the demigods were coming out of that body, and with folded palms they were offering prayers and out of great fear seeing that form. This is Kala Rupa. So Lord shows His Kala Rupa to those who don't surrender to Him, generally. So we can see the beautiful form of Shamsundar Krishna, or we can see that Kala Rupa. Kala Rupa is actually the time personified. Krishna appears as time personified. We will be reading that. So that form is here shown to Arjuna because Arjuna requested Krishna to show how great Krishna is. So here Prabhupada writes in the purport here. No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientists cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. But a devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Because Krishna is giving him the power to see anything that he wants to see, past, present or future. Text 8. But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Divyam dadami te chakshu. Pashyame yoga maishwaram. And then Prabhupada, this we read last week, the same purport we read. How a devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his 200 form. And in text number 9-31, now Sanjaya is describing the universal form, beginning from text number 9 onwards. Here he is describing to Dhritarashtra in the coming 6 verses. He is describing about the universal form as he is seeing it. Here the form that Krishna shows to Arjuna becomes the Ishta Devata of Sanjaya. You will see that later on. I don't know which verse he explains that this form of Vishwarupa is my Ishta Devata. He says. Last, is it? Last, towards the end of Bhagavad Gita, I think, 18th chapter. It is Samsmriti, he says, no? Yeah. So, this Vishwarupa becomes his Ishta Devata for worship, for Sanjaya. Of course, devotees like Arjuna or Yashoda, they are never attracted to this form because you cannot dress this form, you cannot decorate this form with garland, you cannot feed this form like Yashoda is feeding, you cannot embrace this form, universal form. So devotee in Madhuri Bhakti or Sakya Bhakti or that kind of relationship will never want to worship the Vishwarupa form. But Sanjaya is he is a worshipper in Vishwatomukham platform, so he is worshipping that form. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. And he's saying, Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths, unlimited eyes, unlimited wonderful visions. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine appraised weapons. He wore celestial garlands and garments, and many divine scents were smeared over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited and all expanding. That means Vishwarupa was not impersonal. It's a personal form. But there are unlimited hands and legs and mouths and everything. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. So Arjuna was sitting in the chariot with Krishna, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, others on the battlefield could not see this form. See here, he writes in the purport, because Krishna gave the vision only to Arjuna. So this is in this purport he is writing, and later on he will write when all the devatas in the sky are watching. Then Prabhupada says that Krishna has given them also the vision to see. And then he writes that to whomever he gave vision to see, they could see. That's what he writes. So sitting on his chariot, Arjuna could see all this. But no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna, he says in this purport. And text 14, the Adbhutara starts here. Arjuna is now wondering, seeing this form. Then bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to offer obeisances and with folded hands began to pray to the Supreme Lord. Arjuna said, My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths and eyes expanded everywhere, without limit. I see in you no end, no middle and no beginning. He was seeing in all directions. He was not knowing where it begins and where it ends. If you see the picture, you have the picture in Bhagavad Gita? Tense, huh? To see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet, I see this glowing form everywhere adorned with various crowns, clubs and discs. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. You are without origin, middle or end. You are glorious, unlimited. You have numberless arms and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. So this kind of glorification is done by Bhishma Pitamaha also in the Vishnu Sahasranam. He says, Kshiro Dhanvat Pradeshe Shuchimani Vrasat Saikate Muktikanam. There he says, Bhupadav Yasyanabhir Vedasaranila Chandra Surya Netre. Chandra and Surya are your netra, he says. Here he says the same thing. Arjuna also says that. Here. Here he says, same thing. Shashi Surya Netram. Antabahum Shashi Surya Netram. Same verse, yeah. Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space in between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. So here Prabhupada writes in the purport, you see. It appears that not only did Arjuna see this universal form of the Lord, but others in the other planetary systems also saw it. All whom, so Prabhupada says, Arjuna's seeing of the universal form was not a dream. Somebody may think he is dreaming, because many others also were watching it. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision saw the universal form on the battlefield. All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. See, this is the demigods. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. They are all crying Shanti and are praying to you by singing the Vedic hymns. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Sadhyas, the Vishwadevas, the two Ashvis, the Maruts, the forefathers, the Gandharvas and the Yakshas, the Asuras and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. These are all different personalities in different parts of the universe. All of them watching this form and offering prayers. See, in this Lord Shiva is there, Lord Brahma was already there before. Sometimes people say Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are the trinity of this universe. Here in Krishna's form we find all three of them. All Shiva and Brahma worshipping him. O mighty armed one, all the planets with the demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form, with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs and bellies, and your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I. Now the Bhayanakras is starting from this verse. Adbhuta is gone now. So from 23 onwards he is becoming fearful. Now he is seeing the Kala Rupa now. Because he is seeing the terrible teeth. Now the Lord is displaying his teeth, which is crushing the skull of the soldiers. So Arjuna is becoming disturbed now, seeing that. Oh, all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouths and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. So now the Lord is showing his wide open mouths and the noses which are like caves, and the huge eye, glowing eyes, and the mouth is crushing all the soldiers. O Lord of Lords, O Refuge of the Worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. If you see that picture, some faces are beautiful and some are deadly looking. See them. So, God has both the sides. In Bhagavatam it is said, the front side of God is religion and back side of God is irreligion. Similarly, God has both the sides. With He is the one who constructs and He is the one who destroys also. He creates the universe and he destroys the universe also. Similarly, ultimately the death also is Krishna himself. So seeing this form, Arjuna is disturbed. All the sons of Dhritarashtra along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna and our chief soldiers also are rushing into your fearful mouths.
And your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the worlds, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth. In all directions I am bewildered. All the sons of Dhritarashtra along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna and our chief soldiers also are rushing into your fearful mouths, and some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. As the many waves of the rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. I see all people rushing.
Perceive this form of the Kala Rupa, Visharupa. How all the living entities are helplessly entering into the mouth of the Lord. Sometimes you have seen in the tube light, so many flies come, you know, around the tube light. The night they are born and morning they are dead. Isn't it? Sometimes they come and hit the light and they die. Similarly, all the soldiers were being sucked into the mouth. So they were all proceeding very rapidly towards the mouth of the Visharupa. They were entering into the mouths. Leliyase means, the word Leliyase is used, which means the Visharupa was crushing the people's heads, and when the blood was coming out from the mouth, it was licking. The tongue came out and was licking. Seeing that, Arjuna became even more frightened. So two types of thing examples are given here. One is great personalities like Bhishma and Drona. He said, as many waves of rivers flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter blazing into your mouths. And I see people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. See, two times Arjuna is saying that people are entering into the mouth. First time he gives the example of rivers flowing into ocean. So these are more noble souls like Bhishma and Drona, because they are fighting only out of duty. For the sake of duty they are performing, otherwise they are not sinful like Duryodhana. In the next verse he gives example of people rushing into their mouths like moths, which moths die in a blazing fire. That includes Duryodhana and the other people along with Duryodhana, who out of desire for fame and wealth and kingdom, they are participating in the battle like that. O Vishnu, I see you devouring all people from all sides with your flaming mouths, covering all the universe with your effulgence. You are manifest with terrible scorching rays. Now he is asking the question here. O Lord of Lords, so fierce of form, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are the primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. So in this way, Arjuna is totally humbled asking this question. Like, you know, when Rahuguna was humbled by Jadabharata's explanations. Jadabharata was carrying the palanquin. Actually, Jadabharata was a Paramahamsa Bhakta, Paramahamsa devotee. But he was wandering in the forest and he looked like a, you know, very healthy person. Looked like a bull. He had a very healthy body. So the servants needed somebody for carrying the palanquin. So they saw this man and called him, come, you also help in carrying the palanquin, not knowing his spiritual advancement. And when he was carrying the palanquin, he saw some ants on the way. And then he didn't want to put his feet on them. So he was moving this way, that way, and the palanquin was shaking. And Raghuna insulted him, calling him a thin man, calling him a servant, a fool, rascal and everything. And later on, when Jadabharata opens his mouth, then Raghuna is so humbled. He jumps out of the palanquin, he falls at his feet, clasps his feet. And then he is begging for forgiveness at that time. So whenever we know the greatness of a person, we immediately seek forgiveness. Immediately we feel humbled. Here Arjuna is humbled here. So he's asking, Raghuna also asked this question, who are you? Actually he was seeing that he is Jadavarta, but still he was asking, who are you? I thought you are an ordinary person wandering in the forest. I never thought you are such a great Paramahamsa. Similarly here he is asking, hey Krishna, I thought you are my friend, but now you are showing such deadly things. Who are you? What kind of person are you? He is asking, what is your mission? And Lord is answering now, replying, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. This we will all repeat this verse, very important verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakrit Pravriddho. Godhead said, time I am the great destroyer of the worlds, and I have come here to destroy all people with the exception of you, the Pandavas. All the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. So Lord is telling, revealing the truth about himself, who he is. As I was telling some time ago, how Krishna has two sides. Either we can meet Krishna as Shyamsundar, beautiful form, if we agree to surrender to him and obey him, or we can see him in the most deadly form of death. Death is something that everyone fears. So here the Lord is showing that form, and Arjuna can see literally all soldiers on either side. Can you imagine somebody is being sucked into the mouth? He is flying about, he is being sucked into the mouth. How fearful situation it is. So as if impelled by some force, everyone is being swallowed into his wide mouths, which are like huge caves. So this is the another side of God which practically the whole world has to face, majority of the world, except the devotees. Because in Bhagavatam it is said, there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, this is a very nice verse, you all can repeat this verse. Hayur harati vaipumsam udyan astam chayannasau tasya rite yat kshanonita uttama shloka vartaya. So he says here, ayur harati, harati means to take away, ayuhu harati, why pumsam, pumsam means ordinary person, ordinary person's life is taken away, how? By the rising of the sun and setting of the sun every day. Every person's life is like, you know, just like you tear off a page from the calendar, like that one's life is torn every day, one by one. Very few people realize in this world that they are actually nearing death every day. Like every year we celebrate birthday, but we don't realize that we are actually nearing death one day closer. Actually there is time moving in this world, but just like the earth moving, we can't see it with eyes. Similarly, the movement of time, people don't perceive it. Even if your clock stops, time will not stop. Time keeps moving. The time also leads to aging. But it says, a devotee of God, he does not die by the rising and setting of the sun, he says. So you may wonder, how is it? We see devotees also dying. How can we say devotees are not dying? So Prabhupada was explaining in one class at one of the mornings we were hearing recently in one Bhagavatam class. So Prabhupada says, for the devotee, this life is the last life. So he will not be attacked by death again. Now when a devotee leaves his body, then he will not have to take another body where he will be again forced to undergo the inconvenience of death. So every time we have to be subjected to old age and death, it's a very, very painful situation. How painful it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam very vividly in one of the conversations of Narada Muni. A very interesting conversation. So Narada Muni, traveling all over the world, he goes and meets different people and he gives them Krishna consciousness, just like he met Dhruva or anybody else. So one time he came across a very famous king called as Prachina Parishad, and he saw that Prachina Parishad very promptly, dutifully has sent his sons for performing tapasya, but he himself was just settling in the kingdom as a great king, enjoying life, indulging in sense gratification. So he found that this person has is absorbed in killing of animals, which is violence, killing of animals, on one hand, and on enjoying the family affairs on the other hand. In this way, he was spending all his time. But although he had sent his sons into the forest, so Narada Muni felt sorry to see his condition, and he wanted to give him some good piece of advice. But then he felt that this fellow is not in a state of consciousness to hear me. Because when a person is stooped in sense gratification, any good advice doesn't enter the head. Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayana shantaye, it is said. You give good advice to a fool, he only will become angry, it is said. A fool will never understand. Like once upon a time, in a tree, some birds were living. They had made a nest, a nice nest. So when the rainy season came, the nest was so nicely made and covered in the top also, the birds could live very nicely, happily. But there was a monkeys living in the same tree. So during the summer season, the monkey was enjoying different things, eatables and everything. But he didn't make a house for himself. And the rainy season came, the monkey was getting wet. And the monkey had folded his entire tail and, you know, sitting in freezing cold, you know, his body shivering and his teeth was chattering. And he was sitting in the tree, his whole body drenched. So the bird came out of the nest and told the monkey, "My dear monkey, why don't you be intelligent? Just look at us, we have made a house. You could have made a nice house in summer season. You were just enjoying jumping from one tree to another. If you had only made a house, how nice it would be." Hearing this, monkey became so wild. He said, "You made a house, now I'll tear it into pieces," he said. Then he went and took the nest and tore it off into several pieces, like that. So it is said, one should never give advice to a fool. Upadesho hi murkanam prakopayana shante. If you try to give advice to a fool, then he'll become only more angry. Chanakya says that. So that doesn't mean we should not give advice. We should learn to give advice in a way that will enable the fool to understand. Kamsa was a fool also. When Vasudeva was trying to tell Kamsa, actually Vasudeva was telling Kamsa that, you see, she is after all a girl, and she happens to be your sister, and you are in the public now, everyone is watching you, and if you kill her now, what will happen to your name and fame? So he tried to trick him, but still that didn't work. He said, no, I want to save my life, I want to kill her. He was determined to kill her. It was very difficult to convince him. At last, by inspiration of God, Vasudev got a word in his mouth. He said, "She is not your murderer. She is not going to kill you. Only her sons are going to kill you. So we will hand over all the children to you. Please don't kill her." And then he agreed. So sometimes to advise a fool is not very easy. Because one who is uncontrolled in his mind and senses, it's very difficult. So Narada Muni considered in his mind how to give advice to this Prachina Parishad. He is just enjoying. He is in an enjoying mood. So in such kings, whenever the sages would go to them, he would just ask them, "How much gold you want? Take it. How much silver you want? How many cows you want in Dan? Please take it and be thou happy." And you go back. So they would send them away like that. They would not inquire anything from the sage. But if the kings were humble enough and they were eager to pursue the path of self-realization, then they would sit on the ground, catching the feet of the sage and ask him, "Please give me some good sermons, good advice by which I can become purified. I am just wasting my life," like that. So this king was not in that humble attitude. He was in an enjoying mood. Still Narada is the most intelligent preacher. He preaches according to the people's nature. Like, you know, Dhruva, when he was coming, you know how he preached to Dhruva? He didn't tell Dhruva that, "Dhruva, you become my disciple and you just bow down to me and you hear this knowledge, I am going to make you a devotee." He didn't preach like that. Because he knew that he's a Kshatriya, he wanted to help Dhruva increase his determination to surrender to Vishnu. So what should you do with a Kshatriya? We tell a Kshatriya that, you know, "I don't think you can beat him." What will Kshatriya say? "I will prove to you just now that I can beat him." The Kshatriya's blood will boil, isn't it? So Narada Muni also said, "Oh Dhruva, you are a small child, you know. Why do you take your father's words seriously? You just go home and play and your parents will forget all the problem. You are a small child." So that made Dhruva very angry. He said, "If you are going to tell me how to see Vishnu, you help me. Otherwise, you please get out of my way. I just want to go into forest. He was like that. He was determined. Huh? So he increased his determination and tested him. And then he gave him the knowledge. Similarly, here also, he found out that this Prachana Parishad is not going to hear any good piece of advice. Thinking like this, he said, okay, let me tell you a story, he said. That was very interesting to Prachana Parishad. Of course, not any story. He has to tell a story that will be interesting to him, right? That means, what do you think a karmi, a materialistic person, would be interested? It has to be a story with some man and woman. You know, then he would be interested. That's why people go to movies. They want to see the attraction between man and woman is so strong that people already have more than necessary attachment, and they enhance their attachment by going to movies even more. Already there is a knot. Sometimes, you know, like when you are putting the shoe lace, already there is a knot, you are trying to remove it. In the course of trying to remove, what happens? You put one more knot. Isn't it? Instead of releasing it, you put one more knot like that. So people increase their attachment like that. But when one hears Bhagavatam from a pure devotee like Narada Muni, even if there is a talk about man and woman, such a talk is beneficial. How can talk about man and woman be beneficial, one may wonder. Like mercury, you know, mercury is poison. No one should eat mercury. But the very same mercury can be transformed into a medicine. Do you know that? There are Ayurvedic doctors who can have this mercury basma. Like they have loha basma, sona basma, mercury basma they have. They can administer that and they can cure a disease. Very same thing. Similarly, Narada Muni is telling a very interesting story with man, woman, family and everything. To Prachana, and Prachana Parishad is sitting and hearing. Very interesting. Very eagerly. So Narada Muni begins to tell him a story of one man named Puranjan. So this Puranjan was, he says that he was a king. And he went all around the world for happiness. It is a very, very long story which goes through hundreds of pages. But I am going to tell it in a few minutes, briefly. So this Puranjan wandered all over the world and he could not get any happiness anywhere. He was frustrated all over the world while wandering. At last he came to a place called Bharatavarsha, which is our land of holy land. He came to that place. And the northern part, when he came there he found many beautiful parks and beautiful lakes and beautiful gopurams and beautiful walls and everything. Anyway, I will keep giving side explanation to you what he meant, because if you hear along with the explanation of each of this what Narada Muni says, you will understand how it's an allegorical story that he was telling. So he is talking about a Puranjan. Puram means a place. We say Kolhapur, we say, no? Pur means a place. Puramjan means the person who lives in a place. The body is called as a Puram. And Jan means the person living in the body. So Narada Muni is talking of a soul who is living in the body. Puranjan. A soul who is having an enjoying mentality. He is called as a Puranjan. So he tells him that there was a man named Puranjan. And he was wandering and he came to Bharatavarsha, which means the soul is getting a human body in a holy land. And then he says that when he was wandering, he saw, you know, many parks. The parks are compared to the hair in the body. And he says, and he also saw many gopurams, the nose and the head, they are compared to the gopurams. And there were many walls, protected walls. And the skin of the body is compared to the walls like that. And he says there are also windows and window doors also. Eyes are compared to windows. And the eyelids are compared to the doors, covering the windows like that. So he's telling, and then he says, when he was wandering there, and he found the place a very nice place, but still his heart was not satisfied. And he was looking for some happiness there. At that time, in the opposite side, a beautiful woman came. That woman is actually the intelligence. And that woman was not alone. She was protected by a serpent. And along with her, there were 10 servants who were ready to do any service for her. You know who were they 10? Yeah, 5 Jnanendriyas and 5 Karmendriyas. Eyes, nose, ears, tongue and skin. Similarly, 5 Karmendriyas. Speech, hands, legs, anus and rectum. So totally 10. So she was accompanied by 11 servants, including the mind also. And she is the intelligence. And who is the serpent? Life air. That is the vital air or the pran. It has got 5 hoods, which means prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. 5 hoods. She was protected by the serpent and she was very beautiful looking. And Puranjan got to see her. And then when she came forward, he asked her about her whereabouts, who are you and everything. You see, the soul who comes to this world, wandering in this world, he needs a subtle body, man, buddhi, ahankar, in order to situate himself, and also a grass body to situate himself, to enjoy. So, soul along with the intelligence is a nice combination for making nice plans to enjoy this world. That is why he is asking her, who are you? And she says, I don't know who I am. I don't know who my father is. We are just wandering in this world here and there, not knowing even our source. But meeting you, coming in contact with you, we are very happy, she says. So Prabhupada says, in the same way, the intelligence cannot function without the consciousness that is offered by the soul. Soul has consciousness. Intelligence alone is dead. But when it combines with soul, then it gets consciousness. Like that. And then they both get married. And they live. And then and the story goes on how he was enjoying with her. Similarly, the soul enjoys using the intelligence. When the queen laughed, and he also laughed. When the queen was crying, he also cried. When the queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely. When the queen sat on the swing, he also sat on the swing. When the queen became angry, he also became angry. Which means that the soul started identifying with the intelligence. That is the meaning. Like we all identify with our mind, intelligence and the body. Similarly, he was just imitating whatever the intelligence demanded, he was ready to fulfill that. So he was living a life like that. So the story goes on like that, how again in that body, he was enjoying. The explanation is given there, how there are lakes. So Prabhupada explains there, how in this body there are opportunities for pleasure, sense pleasure. So one tries to enjoy pleasure. So same things he was doing, these two things, enjoying sensual pleasure and killing animals in the forest. He was doing these two things. And he didn't know how the time was passing. Very, very fast the time was passing. At one time, in the Gandharva Loka, a Gandharva king, he has many, many servants. He has 360 Gandharva servants. He is actually called as Chandavega. Chandavega means one who acts very swiftly. It's called as Chandavega, one who acts very, very fastly. So Chandavega has got 360 male servants and 360 female servants. You know who are they? Days and nights. So Gandharvas and Gandharvis. So he sends all of them. All of you go ahead and attack the city of Puranjan. He's sending them. So every day, one Gandharva attacks and takes out the day from our life. And one Gandharvi for the night, she takes out the night. Like that, they are taking out day and night one by one. Little by little, our life is going on like that. At the same time, there was one, Kalakanya. Kalakanya means daughter of time. So this girl, Kalakanya, is actually also called as Jara. Jara means old age. Like that. So she was wandering all over the universe looking for a proper match. Nobody was ready to marry her. Is there anyone in this world who will want to marry old age? Because by coming in contact with her, you will immediately become old. As soon as you touch her body, you will become old. So is there anyone who will want that? So everyone rejected her. And she was wandering all over the world and different places. At one time, one great king accepted her and she was very happy. You know who was that? Yayati. Yayati was offered a old age when he was a young man. But then Yayati passed away. And she is wandering here and there. While wandering like this, at one point of time, she came across this avabhat brahmachari, Narada Muni. And she saw him and she became lusty and she wanted to marry him. She went to him and proposed to him that I want to marry you. But Narada Muni rejected. He said no. So he is a brahmachari. He refused to marry her and she became very angry with him and cursed him. That I curse you that you will not be able to remain in one place. You just keep wandering all over the universe. And so she cursed him. So Prabhupada writes there about how devotees of Krishna, they do not accept Jara. They don't accept the old age. Even if a devotee is 75 years old, Prabhupada says, he can act like a young boy. Prabhupada himself is an example for that. He can act like a young person. Because the devotee who has surrendered his life to Krishna, he is given so much spiritual energy by Krishna. And Prabhupada says even about the Shadu Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they began the devotion service pretty late after their retirement from the court of Nawab Hussain Shah in their later years. But they were very enthusiastic to, you know, just sleep a couple of hours and work very hard writing the Shastras, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunav, you know, taking all the Shastras and giving the essence of the Shastras like that. So in this way, a devotee is never victimized by old age or death, Prabhupada writes then. And Narada Muni told her, don't worry, although I will not marry you, I will get a suitable match for you. And then he suggested her to go to one Yavanaraj. Yavanaraj is actually the king of the Mlechas and Yavanas. See, this Mlecha Yavana is not some category of people in one part of the world. Even in India, if somebody is born in a Brahmin family, but is inhygienic in habits, unclean in habits, he doesn't take bath, and he doesn't take bath after passing stool and things like that, then such a person can be called as a Yavana. Or if he is eating cow flesh, he is called as a Yavana or a Mlecha, like that. So the Mlecha Raja, Yavana Raja, very inhygienic king. So he was the one suggested by Narada Muni. Narada Muni ordered him to marry her. So Jara goes to him and offers obeisance and requests him, you please marry me. But Yavanaraj gives a laugh and he says, I don't mind keeping you with me, but I would not like to marry you. I will get you married to my elder brother, whose name is Prajwara, he says. Prajwara means high fever, 107 degree Fahrenheit fever, which comes at the time of death. So he is my elder brother. I will get you married to him, but you can also be my wife, don't worry, he says. Which means he wanted to have an illicit connection with her. So, in this way he got her married to Prajwara. Now these three of them, who are the three? This Kalakanya, Prajwara and Yavana. That means inhygienic conditions and the high fever as well as the old age. All three of them with hundreds and thousands of soldiers along with the Gandharvas and Gandharvis, they all attacked Puranjan city, he said. So Puranjan had become old. He didn't realize that I am getting old. And one fine morning he was in the deathbed. So they were all attacking together. When the old age comes, when the old age attacks a person, especially this Kalakanya, when she attacks, when she embraces a person, immediately one becomes old, totally old. And when the old age sets in the body, then the Puranjana was observing that his own friends and relatives, they are not cooperating. Like he found that the senses in the body, they were not cooperating. Like you see, when you get old, the eyes, they fall short of seeing. You can't see properly. The ears are not properly able to hear. Like that. And the teeth falls off. You need artificial set of teeth to bite and chew things. You can't eat anything you want in old age. Similarly, if one gets uremia, one cannot pass urine. One needs the aid of some external nozzle to pass urine. Similarly, one is unable to pass stool. One has to have some enema or something to pass stool. So in this way, when old age comes, one really faces enormous problems. You see, in this world, everyone is looking for happiness in this world. But if you ask a small child, what do you want? What kind of happiness do you want? He will say, I want a toy. I want an aeroplane. Or I want that tricycle or something. And you ask a young boy, what do you want? Young boy may say, you know, say I want a bicycle or I want a scooter to go to school. Or I want a good score in my studies. I want to score well and become a topper in my class. And you ask a boy in the adolescent age, he will be looking for a beautiful girl. He will be looking for settlement in a good house. I want a nice bungalow. And I want a foreign chance or something like that. In this way, if you see, everyone's desires vary. And if you ask an old person, if you ask a very old man, what do you want? He will say only one thing. I want my mind and senses to cooperate with me. All my different limbs of the body are all falling apart. Invalid. Becoming invalid. I just want to, whatever food I eat, I want to digest it properly. And you know, hands and legs should be able to move properly. You know, if I stand, I can't sit. If I sit, I can't stand. You know, I can't move my body. Body has become invalid. So everyone looks for different kind of happiness. Whether it be Prabhupada says about this Gandharvis, Gandharvas and Gandharvis, because women also get old. Huh? Not only man and woman both get old. Huh? Like that, and they both suffer almost a similar predicament. So in this way, when Kalakanya embraced him, immediately his body was becoming old. And his own friends and relatives, they all started turning against him and not cooperating with him. And he was feeling very, very great anxiety. In the meantime, he came. Who is that? This Yavanaraj. Yavanaraj, in hygienic conditions, as well as illicit sex, both. When one indulges in illicit sex and inhygienic conditions, then one grows old very fast, more fastly than ever before. So Yavanaraj represents the inhygienic conditions in which people live. If one is not a devotee, you cannot even know that you are inhygienic. You cannot even know. After we have come to devotion service, we are learning so many things. Like, you know, if one passes stool, then one should take bath. Like that. Similarly, one touches anything unclean, immediately one should wash one's hand with soap. So these things are known to devotees. Like after you eat your food, you wash your mouth, you sprinkle some water on the head, you wash your legs. So these are actually considered to be codes of hygiene. Similarly, sex also is to be used only for procreating children and at an appropriate time, which is prescribed in the Shastra. And it should not be used at any time with anybody. Like in the modern times, there is illicit relationships. It all begins with, some people say that, you know, I consider you my sister. That's why in Vedic times, nobody will say, nobody will call any woman as a sister. They will always call woman as mother, Mataji. Because you can't call somebody as a Mataji and behave in illegal ways with a woman like that. So for a man, except his wife, one should consider everyone else as a Mataji. And for Brahmachari, everyone is a mother. Brahmachari is always like a child. But in the modern times, you know, sometimes I see boys coming and telling me, you know, probably my sister is coming. One boy said, who is that sister? I asked, is she your cousin sister or your... And he said, she is not my blood sister, not my cousin sister, but I consider her my sister. Very dangerous. Because people who say, I consider somebody to my sister, later on the very same person may become a wife later on. And it happens with some people. Because such people are Yavanaraj's descendants. Yeah. So Yavanaraj told her that you don't have to marry me, but you can be with me. And I'll marry you to somebody else. Because I don't want to take any responsibility. And you can consider me brother like that. So, in this way, that leads to... So it all begins with such a kind of relationship. And what happens? Then gradually one gets closer and closer and it comes to the point of pregnancy. And then abortion after subsequently. Like that. So, here because of Yavanaraj's influence, and this fellow had become, Paranjan had become inhygienic, and here, and in his illicit connections, he was all the time absorbed in such worldly life. And now that Yavanaraj created the Prajvara, so he set fire to the city, whole city of Paranjan, which means his whole body of Paranjan was burning like fire, 107 degrees Fahrenheit, the highest heat. His body was burning like anything. At that time, all the different relatives and friends of Puranjan, like the intelligence, the wife, she had to run out. The serpent, five-headed serpent, actually the five-headed serpent, right from the day you are born, it is fighting with the Gandharvas and Gandharvis, right from the first day. So because of fighting lifelong, the serpent had become very, very weak. At the time of, when you become old, the serpent of prana also becomes very, very weak. So already it was weak, and now the serpent found that they are setting fire. The serpent wanted to escape now, out of that. And Purjana saw that now this city is no more a good place for residing anymore. And he had to come out. He found that the intelligence, the woman is fleeing out, and the mind and the... And the whole city is burnt to ashes, the external senses are all burnt to ashes. The whole city is burnt, and Purjana feels so sorry. But at the time of death, he is thinking of this woman, the intelligence and the mind and the other partners who helped him. He is thinking of all of them and saying, who will protect all of you? Now I am going to go out of the city and you will all be burnt. Who will protect you? In this way, he is constantly thinking of the woman at the time of death. The next life, he becomes a woman. Paranjan becomes a woman. So like that, he concluded the story. When Prachita Parishad heard this story, he said the story was really interesting. But he couldn't understand everything, what was what. Then Narada told him, that Puranjan is none other than you yourself. He told him, you are that Puranjan, he said. And living in this body, you have been always indulging in all kinds of sense gratification and killing of animals violently. You have wasted all your life. And he explained everything to him. Prajna Parishad understood it so well. You know, he was so happy. And he immediately called for the minister. And the minister said, there is still time to go for your sons to return back, my dear king. You can't leave your kingdom and go like this. But then he told the minister, no, I am going to immediately take Vanaprastha and go to the forest. Narada Muni has enlightened me. Now when my sons come back, these are my instructions to them. You give it to them and you take care of the kingdom. I am going now. And he went away immediately. He became enlightened by that story. So we pray that we also become enlightened by this story of Puranjan. So in this way, Jara, who is considered inauspicious, the old age, comes in the life of everyone, leading ultimately to death. So time means change. Time implies change. So time is one of the factors that Lord has inserted into this Brahmanda, into this universe. So because there is time, everything is changing. Everything all around us is changing, changing, changing. From childhood to boyhood to old age, and then a body becomes totally invalid and one dies. So a spiritualist should be able to perceive the temporary nature of this world and how everything is changing. Like one sadhu came to a king, and this king was telling the sadhu that, you know, he was showing everything in his mahal. Look at my mahal, look at my swimming pool, look at my treasury, look at my khajana, and look at my antarpur, and these are my children, and you know, look at my posh facilities that I have and everything. So the sadhu was asking him, which is the permanent place, which is your place of residence, he asked him. This question he asked him. So first the king said, this is my place of residence, he said. And again when sadhu asked this question, then he thought probably he wants me to specifically show him. Then he went and showed him the court where he is living. This is my place of residence, most of the day I spend here only, he said. Sadhu again asked, no, I am asking you, which is your permanent place of residence. Then he showed the antarpur, you know, I live with my wife and children. And he was not still satisfied. Then sadhu said, no, I am asking you, which is your place of residence? Then he thought very deeply. He thought it's a difficult question. Then he showed him the khajana. He said, without this wealth, I can't resign, you know. So this is my place of residence, he said. And then the sadhu laughed and told him, he said, you had none of these things when you were born. You were not residing in any of these things. You were a naked child when you were born. And you are also going to go naked without anything. Your permanent place of residence is the spiritual world, he told them. None of these things, he told them. So one has to remember that life is temporary. The time is acting. Ayusha kshana ekopi nalabhya swarna kotibihi, it is said. One moment lost cannot be purchased by even giving millions of gold coins. One moment of time cannot be purchased. So actually, unfortunately, we are unable to see the passage of time in this world. Generally, we all think when you rise in the morning, today I am healthy, so today I have to think of today's activities, that's all. We don't think of tomorrow, generally. And we don't think of the death that will come, the old age that will come, eventually. We don't. That is why Yudhishthira expressed his great surprise to that yaksha. He said, Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti yamalayam. Shesha means those who are balance people in the world, although every day people are dying and they are going to the Himalayam, they are taken to the graveyard, like that. But those who are left out in this world, Sheshas Thavaram Ichanti, they want permanency in this world. They just want to live permanently and live happily and go on with their life. And they think that death will never come to them. He said, this is really a wonder in this world. How? There is no one who has survived like that, but still people think that they will always survive. They will always live. Very great surprise. Especially a spiritualist should have a vision of future. That the body will become old, it will get diseased, it will become invalid, it will die one day. So the body is actually awarded to us, human body is awarded to us for preparing ourselves. That's why the story of Puranjan is so vividly explained in Bhagavatam, so that we may understand how, just like the Chandavega sent his messengers to attack the city of Puranjan, similarly our body, which is like a city, this is a field of activity. This body is the field of activity. Sitting in this body, the soul, taking advantage of the intelligence and the mind and the senses, he is trying to, what is said in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, no? Purusha Prakriti Stohi, sitting in this Prakriti, Bhungte, he is trying to enjoy. Bhungte, Prakriti Jan Gunan. Jan Gunan means, based on the three gunas, Mayadevi has produced so many things in this world for our enjoyment. Mayadevi and Brahmaji have done a great conspiracy. You know what it is? What it is? Suddenly we can't call it conspiracy. It's a transcendental conspiracy. Conspiracy is, just like if you take some, say if I give you a color box, you know this watercolor? If I give you a watercolor box, nobody will become attracted by seeing the watercolor. But if you take the watercolor and take a canvas and, you know, throw that and make some, you know, take some brush and paint some picture, that picture will evoke some emotion in your heart. Is it not true? Say for example, you see the picture of a beggar, you know, begging like this, you know, showing his, you know, begging arms. Immediately what it evokes? Compassion, yeah. And you see the picture of a lusty man or a lusty woman. What it evokes? It evokes lust, immediately in the heart. Anything you see, it evokes some emotion in you. In the same way, Mayadevi and Brahmaji, what they do? They take the three gunas, Prakriti Jan Gunan, it is saying. They take the three gunas and mix them up nicely and create different living forms. Like, you know, the souls are one in quality, but the soul is given a man's body, a woman's body, and animal's body, bird's body and everything. And this kind of attachment is created in this world, especially the attraction between opposite sexes. Just as a man is attracted to a woman, remember, even a male cockroach is attracted to a female cockroach. That's the principle of this world. A he donkey is attracted to a she donkey. Yeah, that is the way the world is created. Actually, if you go and ask a cockroach, he can give very vivid descriptions of the beauty of a she cockroach. Yeah, probably they must be writing poems also, we don't know. Yeah, that's how this world is created. So, it is said for a crow, even the crow's offsprings are, you know, very considered very beautiful, it is said. So, in this way, Mayadevi has arranged, I am not only saying the woman, beauty of woman, man for a woman and woman for man, in all different species of life, can become a source of attraction, a source of bondage, and one can become a secure prisoner, totally forgetting God. One can make home, that such people are called as Griha Medhis, making home the place for enjoyment and living. And they don't think about God, they don't think about old age, they don't think about death at all, and they just keep spending their life like that. And when the old age and death comes, then they understand that body doesn't cooperate anymore, whether it be a man or a woman. All of us, you can see that the body falls apart, senses don't cooperate. But an intelligent person, while being in youth, should know everything in this world fades away. Just like a beautiful rose in the morning, it looks so nice. In the evening, you see, it is totally shriveled and it falls off, the plant, and it is good for nothing. Actually, there is a poem by Maitali Sharan Gupta, you know, Maitali Sharan Gupta? Maitrishan Gupta and Harivamsh Rai Bachchan and all. So we used to sing those songs. So in one song he says something very meaningful. This is a song of a Murjaya fool. Murjaya fool is actually a flower which is shriveled. But before that the flower is praying. Flower is praying, my dear Lord, now I am very beautiful and I am very young and I am very charming for everyone. While I am in this good condition, please kindly pluck me and put me in a road where very courageous soldiers are marching, you know, for performing a dharma yudh, they are marching. Let me be totally squeezed by their feet and let me give some happiness to their feet. Or put me in a road where some saintly people are walking, who are constantly thinking of the Lord in their heart. So let me be stamped on by the feet of such saintly people. Like that the flower is praying. Similarly, all of us are like the flower. Like that flower. So we have to know in our youth, when we have our strength, when we have our energies in their full vigor, we should utilize this valuable human form in preparing ourselves for the next life. Like, you know, Avadhut Brahman in the 11th canto, he says, while you are in youth, your mind always pulls you down to sinful habits, sinful activities. Mind tells you, especially when you are in youth, you feel very proud, isn't it? I'm feeling so energetic. I'm feeling so strong. You know, I have no problems. People ask you, how do you do? Fine, no problems. Because you are hale and healthy. Even if you put a stone, it digests very easily. Huh? Isn't it? You feel, I have good digestion, I have a good stamina in the body. Huh? And man, woman, both of them think they are, now it's time for enjoyment. Huh? And people think like that. Huh? But so they don't think of, so he says, Avadhut Brahman says, when such a young person, because of not paying attention to God, he becomes attracted by sinful activities, sinful habits. And it is like the tree which showers many, many seeds. The tree in youth showers many seeds, producing many, many more trees, and then the tree dries up afterwards. Similarly, in our youth, we perform so many sinful activities, and then when you get old, then the body is dried up. But then, sure enough, you get the next body, because already you have put the seeds for the next body. You are sure to get the next body. So the body is compared to a tree. So when we are in this body, one should utilize the body for spiritual purpose. So we have the passion in us, surely. So we have the passion, so that passion should be utilized in elevating ourselves to goodness. Not that we use that passion in wrong direction and degrade ourselves to ignorance. So we should elevate ourselves by utilizing the body and the resources, knowing that this world is a temporary place. It will come to a halt. Everything will come to a halt. It's like a movie. It's like a, like, you know, in the night you are sleeping 8 hours, you have 8 hours dream. Our life is like an 80 years dream. It's like a dream, it will go away. Very, very fastly. Just as every good thing comes to a halt. Like, you know, rainy season is there now. After rainy season, another season will come. There will be summer season, winter season, spring, autumn. It will be changing. Similarly, a child has to become youth and a youth has to become old. And it's inevitable. It's not going to be otherwise for you or me. We can know it for sure. Knowing this, one has to be very mature in utilizing the valuable time. That is why Bhagavatam says that be wise. Smaranityam anityatam, Chanakya Pandit also says. Always remember the temporary nature of the material world. He says, know that all these things will be taken away at one point of time. So we need that maturity. Then we will not be running after the, chasing after the pleasures of this world. In this world, even if you chase after the pleasures, ultimately you will come to the realization that they cannot give you happiness. But the Shastras say that, why don't you take it from us? We are telling you directly, instead of running here and there, chasing after the mirage of the world, become focused in Krishna consciousness. Keep your life Krishna-centered, whether you are a brahmachari or a grihastha. Keep your life Krishna-centered. Make Krishna the goal. And learn to derive happiness of a higher nature. Just like in our ashram, sometimes they used to cook for me. Some devotees used to cook for me in the afternoon. They would make this boiled sabji, you know. Boiled sabji and khichdi. So some devotees would come and try it, you know. They would try to eat that and say, oh Prabhuji, there's nothing in this, you know. There is no salt, there is no chili powder, you know. What kind of thing you are eating, you know. But if you keep eating sattvic food, for example, you know, over a period of time, actually we are not supposed to eat too much chili powder or too much salt. It will actually make one passionate and ignorant. But if one takes sattvic ahar, no? Then one will also become sattvic. But in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON, you will see even grihasthas over a period of time start appreciating khichdi. Khichdi is considered very simple. When they come to temple, many grihasthas have told me that we like khichdi very much. Actually, khichdi is not considered a very high class food. You ask in any part of India, khichdi is considered very simple. But if you ask them, they say khichdi is wonderful. People like it. How do you like it? Because when you keep eating khichdi many times, you get used to it. And then your mind transforms, and over a period of time, it gets used to the sattvic things, sattvic ahar. Then when one eats sattvic ahar, then one also becomes sattvic like that. So we have to elevate ourselves from passion to goodness, like that. Similarly, we will also start liking the sattvic habits. You like to wake up early in the morning, you like to wear tilak, you like to wear kantimala, you like to follow four relative principles. There is no force behind your back. You naturally like to follow, you like to chant, you like to meditate, and you like to wear fresh garments every day. You don't wear the same second time, third time. Because when you are in goodness, you cannot wear the same garment for the second time. You can't be unclean. It's not possible. But if you are in ignorance, you will see that you always like to be associated with the ignorance. For example, you go to some hostel or somewhere, you find the room is littered with so many things. Shirt is there, pant is there, sand is there, chappals are inside only. This fellow walks with chappal all around the room, like that. And you find on the walls, you find all nasty pictures you find. And some boys sleep with the shoe only. Huh? They don't remove the shoe. Along with the shoe and jeans, yeah? They sleep like that in the bed. Yeah. Nothing is arranged. Dirty, everything. So the place is Tamaguna and his mind is also Tamaguna. And it's very nice matching. Huh? And his eating also is Tamaguna. Yeah, everything. So devotees have to change their habits. We all actually change. Whether we like or not, gradually we our habits change and our mentality changes. And then you can clearly perceive this is actually a source of suffering, not pleasure. This body is a source of suffering, not pleasure. You will get that realization. This body does not give you pleasure or happiness. It's simply a source of suffering. This body is a burden that is put upon the soul. He says, no, malinay mochanam pumsam, jalasnanam dine dine. So this is actually, this body is actually a mala. Samsara malanashanam, he says. It's actually a mala. Mala means it's very, very dirty. Just like if something comes out of your nose, will anybody preserve it? Throw it immediately. You will wash your hand with soap. Same thing with hair also. You know, if somebody cuts the hair. Once the hair is off your body, you know, if it comes in your food, how do you feel? You will throw away the whole food. You will not want to eat it. Isn't it? It's dirty. Similarly, as long as the nails are in your body, you put nail polish and, you know, very, very nicely, you know, show to everyone. Isn't it? Isn't it? But as soon as the nail is out of your body, it becomes mala. Like that. So we can realize that it is mala only when it is away from you. But because you think I am this body, you think it's very nice. Now it's very nice. You know, you think like that. Huh? Now the nails are good because it's me. You know, we think like that. But actually, the spiritualist can clearly see, I am not this body. Unfortunately, I have been punished to reside in a house of garbage. Yeah. This body is a house of garbage. Yeah. And you are forced to live in this. That's why Shankara, in one of his prayers, he says, Vayasi gate kah kama vikarah shushke nire kah kasarah kshine vitte kah parivarah jnate tatve kah samsarah paja govindam govindam bhaja Mudhamate is saying Vayasi gate means as the age goes. Kaha kama vikara, where is your lust gone, my dear friend? He's asking. As your age progresses, when you become older and older, where is your lust gone? Your lust will be gone. One cannot, even one wants to enjoy, one cannot enjoy. Shushke nire kaha kasara, he's saying shushke nire means when a river dries up, there is no water. In the same way, all of our senses dry up. With no ability to enjoy. And then he says, Kshine vitte, when you become moneyless, then there will be no relatives around you. They will all flee. Only when you have money, people will come to you, he's saying. And then he says, Jnati tattve, when the tattva is very clear in your heart, then one will not be simply absorbed in the samsara, he's saying. So, all these things are said not to make one forego one's duty. One has to perform one's duty. In fact, there is a story of a brahmachari in the Shastras, you know, who was foregoing his duty and trying to become brahmachari. He was condemned and he was sent home. And he was told to perform his duty. So, Shastras never advise anyone to give up his duty. As a grihastha, everyone has to perform their duty, wife or husband. But while performing the duty, we have to get that realization that this body is a mala. It has to be given up one day. And we are residing in this body. We are a pure soul. The soul, Atma, is completely pure. It's Satchidananda. It's one in quality with Krishna. Just like Krishna's body is divine and transcendental, our soul also is divine and transcendental. The more we think of the Krishna Satchidananda form, the more we will become spiritual, 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 spiritualized. And our body also will become spiritualized, totally. How? Like, you know, we put tilak on the body and we perform clean activities with the body. We don't perform any unclean activity. We keep the body clean. Like that. In this way, body, mind and words, when they become cleansed totally, then the soul will not have to return to this material world again. One can return back home, back to Godhead. So we have to perceive the time factor in this world. Prahlad Maharaj talks about time. There is so much information given about time in the scriptures that an intelligent person should always remember that time is passing and I am getting old and the body is aging. and the time is passing. Let me make the best out of bad bargain with this body. Like that. One sannyasi was giving example. He said, imagine that there is a plane in the top, and somewhere or other you have jumped off from the plane without a parachute. Imagine, and you are coming down to the ground. Can you imagine? So it's very, very great height, huh? Like say something like 10,000 feet or something like that. Huh? So from that height you are coming down. So our life is like that, he was telling. Why he was comparing this to jumping off a plane? Because now as the body is coming down, 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 at one point of time it's going to touch the earth, and then the body will be just like a bopla, tuck, you know, breaking into pieces. Similarly, this body will fall apart at one time, isn't it? When we get death, when the death comes. Similarly, the soul also, that means, you know, the distance is decreasing, 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 and then the distance is zero. And one dies like that. Similarly, if you are going to live till 80 years or 90 years, we are actually approaching death. So before death comes, you should transcend death. Just like Parikshit said. Parikshit was very confident, isn't it? Tammopayatam pratiyanta vipra ganga cha devi datajittamishe vijopasishtasko hakastakshakova dashatvalam gayata vishnu gata. He said, dashatvalam, let that snake bird or whatever, let it come and bite me. I have no fear. As long as you are all singing Krishna Katha, I will transcend death. So even before that serpent bit him, he transcended death and escaped from his body, and he went back home, back to Godhead. Like that. So we should do the same thing. Then you have no fear of death. It is said, actually the Yavana Raj, you know who was he? He was actually Bhaya. He was Bhaya personified, Yavana Raj. And Jara wanted to marry him. But when one becomes a devotee, then one loses fear totally. One has no fear of old age. Because the older you become happier, because you are going to return to Krishna soon. More earlier than those who are 10 year or 12 year old. Isn't it? So you become only more happier. As long, see, a ordinary person who was a niraparadhi person, you know, when he is walking and a police station is coming on the way, he has no fear, isn't it? Whereas thief is walking, when he sees a police station, there is fear immediately, isn't it? Similarly, a devotee has no fear of maya or death or old age or anything like that. Because we know we are not the body in the first place. But the karmis, because they think they are the body, they also have enormous fear. They think, oh, my death is coming. If I die, everything is finished. I am finished. They think like that. But a devotee knows, I will never die. When the death comes, I will cast away my body and I will return back home, back to Godhead. Or I will take another body in a devotee family. The devotee understands like that. So in this way, if one can have an X-ray vision to see through this so-called beautiful body, which appears attractive, one can see the presence of the soul, and one can at the same time see the decaying body, then one can be saved from repeated cycle of birth and death. One can return back to Krishna. So this time is another form of Krishna, a dangerous form. And we don't have to see the form of this Kala Rupa. If we become devotees of Krishna, we are saved totally. So we are all fortunate to become devotees of Krishna by Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's mercy, we have taken devotion service. But you have to take it even with a greater vigor and enthusiasm, so that there is no chance of our coming down. We have to reach a point of no return. Then, you know, this rocket, you know, you have to go at 11 kilometers per second to go out of the, you know, Earth's gravitation pull. But also you should go to another planet. If you go to gravitation pull of another planet, then it can be sucked into that planet by the gravitation pull of that planet. So Prahlad Maharaj said, I am attracted by Krishna Graha, he said, not by this pleasures of the earth. He uses the word Krishna Graha. Krishna Graha is actually Goloka Vrindavan. Prahlad Maharaj said it to Chandan Amaraka. He said, my mind is becoming attracted by Krishna Graha. So we also have to pray every day when we chant, let my heart become attracted to Krishna Graha or Goloka. Hare Krishna.